Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we observe All Saints' Day. Today, our readings remind us that, well, that the Lord has fulfilled and is fulfilling his promise to Abraham. His promise that Abraham's descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. That his descendants will be as numerous as the sands on the seashore. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. Today we rejoice that we, like those who have gone before us, are participants in the Lord's family. For as he proclaimed to the churches in the days of John the Evangelist, so he also proclaims to us today. See what kind of love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The word abide is central in our readings again today as it was last week. Last week we talked about how Jesus said to some Jews who had believed him, he said to them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Today Jesus takes the topic of our abiding in the truth to the fulfillment of his word and our actual abiding with him in his presence, our abiding with God in heaven. In our gospel reading, the Sadducees, seeing how the chief priests and the scribes had failed in their attempts to corner Jesus, they had failed in their attempts to get Jesus to say something they could use against him, well, the Sadducees figured it was their turn. They figured they'd take their shot at Jesus. The Sadducees, they were an ancient Jewish sect that showed up on the scene around the time of Israel's return from exile in 586 BC, and they caused trouble for the faithful until the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. They had found favor in the eyes of the Roman government. They were satisfied with the status quo. They liked things the way they were, and they had no desire to look forward to a future messianic age. They openly denied the resurrection of the body. They openly denied personal immortality, and they believed and taught that the soul dies when the body dies. And so, like many in our time, they also believed and taught that there was no punishment nor reward after death. The Sadducees denied the existence of angels, they denied the existence of spirits, and they denied that God had any real tangible impact on the world. They taught that man is entirely the master of his own destiny and that the doing of good or evil is entirely, well, up to the man's free choice without any outside influence from God. Sounds a lot like our time, doesn't it? They resented Jesus for his cleansing of the temple, and they were filled with indignation at Jesus' claim of the messianic title Son of David. So every chance they got, they tried to discredit Jesus in the eyes of the people and even tried to cause trouble for him with the Roman powers. The beliefs and the behaviors of the Sadducees, though they may have different names, different titles, still cause trouble for the faithful in our time. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. Today, St. John teaches us in his letter, his letter to the churches in Asia Minor, that those who believe and teach the things of the Sadducees are wrong. And they're not just wrong. He taught that their teachings are dangerous. Six times in the verses leading up to our second reading, John writes of the abiding of the abiding in Jesus' word as the only means of knowledge of the truth, the only means by which we may recognize the Antichrist when they come. It's a big deal for John. It was one of his hot buttons because they do come. John describes Antichrists in this way, as those who once were among them. Kind of like Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, was among them but was not of them. John describes the Antichrist as those who went out from them because though they were among them, they were not of them. They were those who denied Jesus as the Christ. John wrote that this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and denies the Son. 1 John 2:22, if you want to check it out. These things of which the Sadducees were guilty are among the reasons John was inspired to say, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not appeared. But rest assured, we will be." It doesn't just end. There's not just a switch that gets flipped off at the end of life. In our first reading, John, in his revelation, witnessed how God protects those who are his own. John writes that he saw another angel ascending from the east. The angel carried in his possession the seal of the living God. Four other angels are identified as having gone out to the four corners of the earth with permission and the intention to destroy earth and sea and all that dwells in them. But they must stay their hand. They must stay their hand at the word of him who holds the seal of God. They would not be allowed to harm anything until the full number of God's faithful are sealed on their foreheads for protection. Because of these things, already in the first century, the making of the sign of the cross upon the forehead at one's baptism is intended to remind the baptized person that they have been redeemed by Christ. And so we still continue that practice in our time. But John's revelation of the end times will not be the first time that the Lord would protect his faithful people from the coming wrath of his judgment. In the days of Moses, and this narrative will probably sound pretty familiar to you, in the days of Moses, when the Lord would send the destroying angel into Egypt, the destroying angel would stay his hand until God's people had marked the lintels and the doorposts of their houses with lamb's blood. Thus, the destroyer, by God's command, would pass over those whom God had sealed for his protection. In the same way also, in the days when the temple worship had been polluted by the inclusion of pagan practices, the Lord had shown to Ezekiel how he would protect his faithful people, even as he himself moved away from the temple and its corrupted worship. In Ezekiel's vision, before the destroyer who approached from the north, the destroyer, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, in his vision, before the destroyer approached from the north was allowed to enter into Jerusalem, Ezekiel saw what looked like the image of a man. But then it was different. In his vision, the man looked like fire and gleaming metal. And Ezekiel saw him entering into the city with the seal in his hand, the seal with which he would mark the remnant of God's people for their protection. Peter says in his second letter, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wanting that any should perish, but should reach repentance." Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. Today we remind one another of the beauty and the grandeur of heaven that is the reality for our loved ones who have gone before us. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. Today we take comfort in God's promise that though we miss our loved ones dearly, there will come a day when the heavenly home that they are enjoying right now will be our home as well. And John said, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Have you ever wondered what heaven is like? Our readings today give just little insights, if you will, of the beauty and the grandeur of heaven. And while they are just little bitty glimpses, they're enough. The first thing that jumped out at me was heaven is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that his descendants are a multitude too numerous to count. Heaven is a place sheltered in God's presence. No one can harm. There's no scorching heat. When we get there, Jesus himself will make us lie down in green pastures. He will lead us beside the quiet waters. As our readings put it, he will guide us to springs of living water. Having left this valley of sorrows behind, God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. The gentle touch of the hand of Almighty God will remove the necessity to weep, and it will never come back to us. John in his epistle says, we will see the Lord as he is. We will see the Lord in all his glory. And Jesus himself says in our gospel reading, he declares that heaven is a place of the living, despite what the Sadducees and other naysayers say. Heaven is a place of the living, a place populated by those who now possess endless heavenly glory. Like I said a moment ago, these are just little things, little glimpses, but they're enough. Enough to know that when the Lord had marked or sealed his people throughout the difficulties of history, none of his own have been lost. I used to wonder why we make such a big deal out of All Saints' Day. But as loved ones have gone home to be with the Lord, I find myself missing them. And so I've grown to appreciate this day we call All Saints' Day, because it's a day that we set aside to proclaim God's faithfulness to his promise, and not just for me, but also for my loved ones, that in Christ Jesus they are safe, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. And because of his almighty faithfulness, I will get to see them again. And so will you. Story. For the past 3 years, I've participated in in a race that's called, well, it's sponsored by the YMCA here in town. And the race is called the Lazy Man Triathlon. The Lazy Man. It is a full triathlon, but here's where the lazy man part comes in. You get up to 30 days to do it, and everyone gets a t-shirt. But I have to admit that I'm embarrassed to wear that t-shirt because I have yet to finish that race. Seems that there's always something that comes up, and at least that's my excuse. There's always something that stops me. You know, there's the long bike ride, the long run, at least in the swim, they don't make you swim if you don't want to. They'll let you do the rowing machine, which is good because I would sink like a rock. But I really thought this year was my year. But again, something came up and I failed to finish. So I forced myself, I'm going to do it again. So October 1st came around and I started that cycle all over again. I'm going to finish. Well, this would be the fourth time that I didn't finish. Each time, I think to myself more and more as I get started, I sure wish there was some guarantee that I would have enough time. I wish there was some guarantee that I'd be able to finish that race. And that's exactly what All Saints' Day is all about. God's guarantee that he will make sure you finish your faith race. For me, the things of our readings today are the Father's assurance that we will finish our faith race. Our readings are his assurance to us that God the Father has accepted Jesus' death on the cross as acceptable payment for all of your sins, not just some of them, but all of them. You have been forgiven. Our readings assure us that those whom the Lord has sealed through his word, those whom he has sealed through the sacrament of holy baptism, are his children right now. You are God's children right where you sit. Some of his children have already finished this race and are now safe with the Lord in eternity. The rest of us, though we still run this race, we run with the Lord's guarantee. We have that seal. He has sealed you with his promise. His Holy Spirit is a deposit, guaranteeing that you will finish your faith race. But at the end, you don't get a t-shirt that's emblazoned with lazy man, but you receive a robe of dazzling white. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. As I studied this week, I found myself, questioning and challenging. Each year we make a special effort to wear red, not for Huskers, even though that's a cool reason too, but for Reformation Day, we make a special effort to wear red. And I thought to myself, what a sight that would be if on Reformation Day we all showed up in white. for John adds in his revelation, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white? And from where have they come?' John said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to John, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.' You all know of some of these dressed in white robes, gathered around the throne of God. You know them through the biblical narratives, heroes of the Bible. Others of these dressed in white robes you know personally, for they are your loved ones." Words can't sufficiently describe what John saw. But if he were here today, I think that he would say that heaven is way better than anything you could ever imagine. And so today we celebrate All Saints Day, for we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. In that day, having already been declared pure through your faith in Jesus, each of you will find yourself arrayed in a white robe and standing in the midst of that great multitude that no one can number. Today we celebrate All Saints Day. See the love the Father has for you, that you should be called children of God. And so you are. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.